To the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inert Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we've been talking the last couple of weeks about racism within the black community. If somebody wants to destroy blacks, what they could do is to teach them that it's okay to judge white people simply based on the color of their skin. If they're white, they're guilty. If you teach a black person that and they embrace that, then you've helped to destroy them, because when you destroy someone from the inside out, that's a real destruction. And so racism, like any other sin, any other form of hatred, racism will destroy you. And if it's you as an individual or you as a family or a community or a nation, then that is a great way to destroy your community. If you hate blacks, you will teach them that you can't be a racist. You're unable to be a racist if you're black because you don't have enough power. And so that whole teaching itself, that racism is only possible to those in power, that teaching is racist. The reason that was developed was so that people could be racist and say it openly, so that their seething hatred against whites, or in other countries around the world, other regions of the world, in Asia, in Africa, in South Central America, and so on. Racism among the left in America is openly expressed, whereas among conservative Christians, it's utterly condemned. Any color or race of people against any other color or race of people, and that's our white privilege. We truly do have white privilege in this, that our children are taught that it is never acceptable to judge other people based on the color of their skin. It's ironic that the white privilege we actually do experience is heaped on us by liberals and leftists and racists when we are taught, and I'm thrilled that we are, that we must not be racist. As we've been going through these very important issues on the air, conversations, they have a way of spreading and spheres of influence. And we ended up with a new friend, Samantha. And Samantha has agreed to join me in studio for the first few minutes of the show. So what an honor, Samantha. Welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Thanks so much.
Well, looking at you, you look like you're Hispanic.
That's right, I am.
I would like, Sam, to talk to you on the air, as we've done recently off the air, about your observations. This is not a peer-reviewed scientific study. This is your observations. Growing up as a Hispanic young woman, what part of the country did you grow up in?
Southern California.
Okay. So could you tell me about what you have observed, and whether it's among your friends who are white, Caucasian, Hispanic, black, among family, friends, coworkers, and so on. How do you see this issue from your own perspective?
Right. So first of all, I feel like this is not just a white issue. I feel like this is a human issue. I feel like there has been more racism that I've seen personally in the brown community than I have in the white community. Mm-hmm. Most of the modern day white Americans have been very loving and kind and accepting, and I've never really felt outcasted.
And that's toward you personally?
Toward me personally, right.
So you look Hispanic to me. If anyone in our circles looked at you with any kind of a look because of the color of your skin, they would be reprimanded and probably run out of our circles on a rail. There's no way that would be tolerated in our community of conservative Christians. There's just no way. And I'm glad to hear you're saying from your perspective, you have not sensed any kind of disapproval from the white people, the Caucasian people you've interacted with.
Right. If I've seen any racism towards me, it's been purely from the Mexican brown community.
Wow.
We have this unspoken scale. The lighter you are, the more accepted you are. But if you go too light, especially if your parents, if one of your parents marries a white person.
And you're then too white.
You're then too white. And you're not one of us. You don't belong. You're not part of the Mexican group, which is actually funny because I never realized that I looked Mexican because I was always told I looked white.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because you were a bit more light skinned than the average Hispanic person growing up in the Southwest.
Right. But if you look at both my parents, you can obviously tell that they're Mexican. And I think that's where the grace was for me growing up, that knowing that my parents were both Mexican. Because marrying a white person meant that you were trading out of your community, and marrying a black person was a complete betrayal to your own people, to the skin, to everything.
Wow. So now I want to ask you about that. Are you just saying this like in theory, or had you ever seen somebody bring in a black girlfriend or a black boyfriend to the family environment?
Most of the time, you just wouldn't do that. But I have seen it in my stepfamily. I've seen them. A cousin had brought home a black boyfriend, and immediately silence goes over a Mexican party. And if you've been to a Mexican party, they don't
it's
get
not
quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah. So you can feel the tension and you can feel the uncomfortableness from everybody who has now started to whisper like, oh, my goodness, can you believe that she brought a black guy? It was just a complete betrayal. I don't think anyone knew about it coming into it. Mm-hmm. I think they knew that she was bringing somebody, but they automatically assumed it'd be a Mexican.
So if a black person says, you know, I'm looking forward to getting married someday and I really want to marry a black person, that's not racist, of course.
Right.
And if Hispanic wants to marry Hispanic, if a white Caucasian wants to marry a white, that's fine. But if someone thinks it's a betrayal, like as though we're in India in the caste system and somebody's going to marry one of the untouchables, or if somebody says, if you marry somebody outside of our race, that's a betrayal, that is devastating. That's not acceptable.
Right. And it immediately goes into gossip, and it'll be gossip until they break up, which then will be relief for the family because she came to her senses. In this case, they had a kid, which was just unfathomable because now the baby is darker than the rest of the family. And now it's just an outcasted thing. You're never really part of the family again from that point forward.
So the darker part. Right before we got on the air, you mentioned it's really an issue of skin tones.
Right.
And that really struck me because growing up in New Jersey, there were four siblings. And my brother and sister, the youngest two, have red hair, blue eyes, light skin, very fair skin. My brother Brian and I, the two older ones, dark hair, dark eyes, olive complexion, darker skin. It never once dawned on me, not one time ever, that anyone in our extended family, that skin tone had anything to do with anything. But you're saying growing up Hispanic in Southwest U.S., that was not the case.
Right. You were definitely measured by the skin color. And of course, the lighter skin you were not necessarily privileged, but you were blessed and they made sure that you knew it. They would make it a point of calling you the little white girl or the little white boy, and you are doted on far greater than a normal colored Mexican baby.
That's terrible.
And it's very well known in the Mexican community that if you have a light-skinned baby, that baby will be loved and spoiled way more than if you have just a normal-looking Mexican skin-colored baby.
That's absolutely horrific. I mean, every baby should be treated like those light-skinned babies.
Right.
The fact that you would treat other babies worse is, I can't even comprehend that. From my perspective, growing up a white conservative, became a Christian in high school, a freshman, 1973. I can't even comprehend that, Sam, that people would be like that. But you're saying this was somewhat common.
Yeah, it's just known. It's just fact.
How about outside of the family in school, say in elementary school, high school?
More noticeably in high school, there was definitely a light-skinned Mexican group, clique, that they were, I guess, the equivalent to the white, blonde hair, blue-eyed cheerleader, popular girl. We had the same thing in the Mexican community with the light-skinned Mexicans, and they all stuck together, and they were their own thing, separate from the dark-skinned Mexican community. Mm. They were two totally different ones. They had different names. I can't remember at this time what they were, but they were two different names. They didn't really interact with each other because they were two totally different scales.
Mm. Let me ask you about, from your perspective, the interest in the Hispanic community in other cultures and other communities. I'm thinking about in our circle of friends, our church, our family that I'm in the middle of. And there seems to be a fascination with other people when they come in from other cultures. Fascination about, you know, who they are, where they come from, what are their holidays, what are their customs, what is their language, what kind of food do they eat, all of this. Is that similar in your experience?
No, absolutely not. There's no desire to learn outside of our own community. There's no need to understand the white community because they're just written off as uncultured and having no real value or depth. Mm.
So there's a lot of problems in the white culture.
Right.
We're the first to list them here at Denver Bible Church, Bob and Eric Live. But to write off an entire people group as they're not worth it, that's sin. Now, we haven't talked about it, Samantha. We only have been talking for 10 minutes. But you're a believer in the Lord. You're a Christian.
Right.
And so as a Christian, I'm a Christian. Jesus, when he said to love your neighbor, and then he went further and said, you know, who's your neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. Even love your enemy. And these things are central to what it means to be a believer. Love God and then love your neighbor. It was the second of the two commands.
Right. And it's not something that has any interest or any desire to step outside of yourselves and your people group. And once you do, you start to become a traitor. You start to become not part of the group anymore.
Mm. So when we've been saying on the air for a couple of weeks now that whites really have been privileged to be scolded and told, don't you ever dare be a racist. Don't you ever dare judge people by the color of their skin. Do you see that as a benefit that our kids have grown up being taught it's always wrong to judge other people by the color of their skin? Do you see that as a benefit?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't something that was ever taught to me, but it was something that I just grew up in the school that I went to. It was just a melting pot. And I was just the people pleaser that I am. I just wanted to be friends with everyone. My groups always seemed to be, you know, Mexican and blacks and whites. And it really wasn't, none of us seemed to have the idea that anyone was above the other one or that it was
in your circles.
In my circles. It's who I associated with. But it was never something that I was taught to value. It was just something I picked up from, like, mm-hmm. the kindest people to me were the people that just accepted me as Mexican and accepted my friend as black and accepted my friend as white and Asian. And it was just never a thought to us.
Right. Which is the way it should be. But sadly, it appears that while in the white community, we've been working on this intensely for half a century, in minority communities, it has not been a focus.
Right. It's definitely not been anything that I have heard other people say until this new Black Lives Matter protesting happened. Up until then, it's actually kind of interesting to see who's posting on Black Lives Matter issues now. because of the things that they have said in the past and the things that they said during the last rallies or didn't say, and somehow now have a voice that we are all racist. And
what do you mean by that? So people, you know, are posting and saying that who's racist?
Specifically the white community, but now it's even seeping into the brown community for the white skinned Mexicans or Hispanics, that we also live in white privilege and mm-hmm. that we need to be speaking up because we're just as guilty as a white person mm-hmm. for having lighter skin tones.
Yes. So, well, for speaking up, we could start by teaching our racist critics that they're wrong to be racist and they're wrong to judge people by the color of their skin, and that's hatred. So they're we could take their advice and start speaking up. In fact, I think that's a necessary step. I think that conservatives in the media are a bit cowardly because they have not talked about racism in the black community or racism in the Hispanic community. I haven't looked into racism in the Asian community, other than to know historically that the Japanese and the Chinese hated each other and the Koreans hated both of them and so on. It's common all over the world. The only thing you need for racism to exist is a second race. That's it. That's all you need. And so we have plenty of, there's only really one human race, and we're all descended from Adam, as the New Testament says. God made from one blood all the nations of the world. So praise God, there actually is only one race. But these physiological and cultural differences among us, you have more than a few shades difference in skin tone, and that's enough to dislike other people or even to hate them.
Yeah, that's right. So when I was younger, I went with my cousins to a theme park, and we were coming off the ride, and they looked over the railing because it was on the second level, and they saw Asian people passing by. And my cousin told me to spit on the Asians. It was two of my older cousins and me and my cousin that were the same age.
Oh, my.
And it was really confusing. I didn't understand because it was not something that was addressed to me, like yeah. racism or be mean to someone because of how they look.
Yeah.
And so when they said that, I just kind of stepped back and just kind of watched them do it because it was...
Oh, no.
It was awful. And it's, I think, yeah. a turning point for me as to something I pushed myself away from.
That's great.
And even the whole community, because every time I would see something like that, it was just something that I would step back from it. And then adding in my light skin, it was really easy for me to pull away from the community the more I saw different moments like this come mm-hmm. forth.
Wow.
And at that time in my life, I was pretty young, but I could also see how they were treating my mom and speaking to her. They always had a nickname for her, that she was the little Indian girl, because she was just a couple shades darker than most of the family.
Wow.
And that was something that she always dealt with growing up, and it was something I think that also made her push away from the Mexican community. I always wondered why she tried to be so whitewashed, and I never really understood it until recently, when we kind of just talked about all this and how it actually is a problem, seeing that she had pushed away for her own hurt feelings and being rejected in her own community.
Mm. Hearing all this, Sam, I think about the news of the last few weeks with Black Lives Matter. And in a way, it could have a positive spillover on the Hispanic community to the extent that racism has been acceptable and like under the radar. And it could challenge Hispanics to realize, you know, we do have racist attitudes toward blacks in our own community, like the Hispanic pastors, the Mexican pastors, the Hispanic pastors. I hope they're in this fight to teach their congregants it is wrong to have bad attitudes toward other people groups. It's wrong. It's sin. We're supposed to love them like Jesus said. So there could be, even though Black Lives Matter, the organization, is godless and inherently evil, it could be that they're going to shine a spotlight into some minority communities that have really gotten away with being racist for a long time.
Right. Something I saw recently trending on Twitter was a hashtag talking about the racism coming from the Dominican Republic and how they were calling out different things in their community about, let's say all this stuff, but we're not racist at the end, and how they're addressing that as a topic and as a talking point for them to speak back to their families and say, hey, you know what, this actually isn't right.
In other words, they would say things and at the end say, but we're not racist. And so with all this attention on racism, other people are saying, hey, you know what, every time you say, but this isn't racist, really it is. You know, and of course, sometimes we say things that are not racist that other people accuse us of. But then just because you say this isn't racist doesn't mean it's not racist. So, wow. So that introspection is good. That's great.
Right. And I've even had concerns for my own kids. We have a few kids and they are very light skinned. And I don't think anyone would assume that they are Hispanic or Mexican. And I've worried about what their future is going to look like just on the assumptions that they are white. Wow. If we continue to go down this road and continue to blame every white person for what has happened hundreds of years ago and what that looks like for their safety, what opportunities they'll have or won't have, and just overall, how will they be treated in society?
And if they're white enough, how about then from the Hispanic community that you grew up in? Are they a little too white to be fully accepted or no?
Oh, my kids are off the charts. They're not part of the Mexican scale anymore because they are much lighter, light-haired, light eyes. They wouldn't even be considered. They would not believe it. Unless my kids were fluent in Spanish, then maybe they'd get some grace. But other than that, there's no grace for them in being accepted into that community.
Wow. And you just take that as a matter of fact, like this is just our life. I would say from what you've shared today, Sam, from your own life, your own perspective, that is the most powerful evidence that there is a serious problem within the Hispanic community from your perspective, that you have those thoughts about your own kids and how they would not be accepted in the Hispanic community. Years ago, I did a funeral for a guy. His name is Jack Martinez. His family asked me, please don't say Jack Martinez. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to call him? Jack Martinez. I said, not Jack Martinez, Jack Martinez. They're like, no, don't pronounce it like a Z at the end. Pronounce it like an S at the end, Jack Martinez. I said, okay, but why? I never heard this before. They said, because in high school, our family, we were hated by the Mexicans because we weren't Mexican. We were Castilian. We were from Spain. We were Martinez. But the American kids hated us because we were Mexican. And so we were in the middle. We were hated by both sides. And so we don't identify as Martinez. We're Martinez, Jack Martinez.
Wow.
Yeah, something, huh? So I felt really bad about hearing that. And then that ended up being one of the worst days of my life, but I won't get into that. We'll tell that story on another show. So, Samantha, I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing from your perspective. So it sounds like here at Bob and Your Live, we're on the right track, that we do need to minister to minority communities, that it's a sin to be racist, and you need to stop being a racist if you are, and you need to teach your kids to love and respect people of every skin tone, every race.
Right. I think that's very powerful.
So again, thank you, Samantha. And this is Bob Benyart. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
I asked our producer to cue up the Bad Mother audio. Do you remember that from July last year? When this woman that Doug McBurney and I and a friend happened to meet in a parking lot, when she ended up calling me a racist. So we'll hear that. I really appreciate Samantha coming into the studio. That was eye-opening. It was difficult to hear. And speaking of difficulty, this woman was blaring music with the F word and sexually vulgar lyrics. So Doug McBurney went up to her. She had her kids in the car, and Doug rebuked her and said, "You shouldn't do this to your kids." And so here's part of what followed. "Have a good day, ma'am."
"No, you're not telling me, ma'am. That means respect. You don't respect me. You're on his side. You're racist. You don't like black people."
"Well, that guy's marrying a gal from Nigeria."
"I don't care where he's marrying from. You sound like Trump now.
She's
get
black.
Get out of here."
"She's
That's
black.
What you're sounding like.
And I don't support Trump."
"You don't agree with, support Trump. Because you're racist. You don't like black people. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. And you're wrong.
Why are you so filthy and so vulgar?
"No, so vulgar?
Why?
Because you
why
walked
would
up
you do
on
that?
My car."
"Well, I was in the restaurant."
"But that was threatening. If I walked up on your car, wouldn't you be threatened?"
"No, I'd say hello."
"No, he did not say hello.
He said...
Bob, did you record music, that?" "No, that music is not an introductory of hello.
It was filthy.
It's very filthy."
"Right.
And I'm teaching my girls."
Why don't you do this?
Help me and love me and support
as a Christian,
me, don't put me down.
I'm not going to support
don't
you.
Do, oh, I, okay,
as a
thank
Christian,
you. I'm not supporting
as a Christian,
you
why don't you...
Stop the tape.
Knowing what we know about how her filthy music will harm her children, if Doug was a racist, he married an Asian gal. If Doug were a racist, or me, or our friend, we wouldn't warn her, because a racist probably couldn't care less if more black children get harmed. But because we love her and we love her children, we rebuked her. And by the way, I knew that she was trying to work me over for $20 or something. So when she said, "If you love me, if you support me," and immediately I caught it, of course, and said, "I'm not going to support you." And then that was it. She was done talking. She figured she could milk the Christian fool. But notice she claims to be a Christian, and she very well may have a love for the Lord, although she's disobeying him and dishonoring him in some of the most despicable ways, but she undoubtedly has grown up in a Christian church where she has been reinforced and never rebuked for her own racism, for her own hatred of white people, for prejudging, for her prejudice and bigotry, for thinking that white people, because of the color of their skin, they are racist. Are there racists among whites? I mean, what a stupid and obvious question. Of course there is, and of course it's horrific. But it is condemned across the board, especially by all leaders, everyone with a public voice. That is not true in the black community. May God bless you guys.